Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, the final live broadcast from Skid Row Studios. That's okay. Truthfully, I'm not sad about it. Let me just say that coming here, it only really kicked in when I was driving to the studio thinking, wow, this is the last Monday night I'm going to be driving to do the show since January, with one exception, the 1 week that Norman and Candace filled in as hosts and did quite an adequate job. I'm such a dick. But no, they filled in and we pre-recorded one show on one Sunday. But otherwise, every Monday since January, this has been what I've done. I've come here to the studio and broadcasted live. And it's weird to think that this is the last time I'm going to be sitting here. And you're going to be watching the show while I'm doing it. It's kind of strange. But fear not, dear listeners and viewers and fans, because there are more episodes coming from Skid Row Studios. So here's the deal. Right now, and there's a little, well, I should just say, we'll keep you posted about it. But right now we are working to make sure the iTunes feed transfers over from the Skid Row server to my server, so you don't need to change your subscription, or you don't need to worry about finding the show all over again or downloading the shows over again or whatever it is. We're trying to make sure that the current feed transfers over without any issue. So we will keep you posted on, well, I should say there will be something put out there if it doesn't work that way, but it should. Everything should work just fine. We want to make sure that it translates over, transfers over rather, because next Monday there will be another show from Skid Row Studios, which has already been recorded, featuring Bobby Borg, musician and author and educator. And that show is in the can already. So, and I'm thrilled to say it because Bobby was on Cape 35 discussing his DIY music marketing book. Back in February, Cape 35. I'm happy to say we didn't double up on information. It's not a retread over that same stuff because he has a new book out. And we had a completely new discussion about new topics and what's in his latest book. So I'm really happy with that show. That was a great time, as is every week. I mean, it's Cape. Obviously, the show is going to be great all the time. But really, really happy with that show. That will be available next Monday. So you should be getting it on via iTunes. On Monday, and the video version will be up on YouTube on Monday as well. So you'll be able to catch that the usual day, because the show is not going to be broadcasting live. So we figure, well, we'll still put the episodes out on Monday because they'll be done. And October 26th, 2 weeks from today, will be the Skid Row Studios finale for Cape, which I have it on good authority. This show might be the final show that's recorded at Skid Row Studios, period. Or at least during this phase, because Skid Row Studios could come back in some form. But in this particular studio, this could be the last show, period, that's recorded there. It's pretty awesome, I have to say. So, October 26th will be the final show from Skid Row Studios. But fear not, because Cape carries on, and the show will be every Monday after, in perpetuity, which means a really long time. So all through November, all through December, you will get new episodes of Cape and beyond. There will be new episodes of the show. I've had more and more people speak to me and just say, oh, but I like the video. I like watching the show live. And hey, we like doing the show live. It's fun to know that people are sitting watching right now. I'm looking at the graph. I pulled it up. I don't always look at it while I'm doing the show, but I'm looking at it right now and seeing how many people are tuning in. And that's exciting. It's fun. And it's weird to think it's the last time that this is going to happen. That'll be sitting here. I mean, at least for a while. There will be live streaming again. There will be live video again. There will be video versions again down the line, hopefully sooner rather than later. But people are upset that there isn't going to be a video version of the show because they like watching the show as opposed to listening to it. And I get it. People like, even if it's people sitting around talking into microphones, they still like having that visual experience where they get to watch the people instead of just listening to it. I know plenty of people who can't just listen to talking. They don't like listening to podcasts or audiobooks or talk radio in their car or something like that. And that's fine. Everybody has a different way of absorbing it, but we're still going to be giving you the content. So you will be listening to the show. You will be able to listen to the show on a weekly basis. Now, the good thing is, because since we've been here at the studio, people have said, are you going to do the show multiple times a week? And that hasn't happened as of yet. I don't know if that's a path I want to go down, unless we have a firm lineup, let's say, where it's the same group appearing at least once a week and then maybe a guest once a week if the show is twice a week. That could happen, as I've talked about before. But aside from that, with the show just being audio and with the flexibility and freedom of recording the show whenever we want, then, hey, that means the show can go longer than an hour. The shows can be even longer. So while we're giving up, we as in you, me, those who join me here at the table and on the show, while we are giving up something, because there's no video component of the show, you can still get longer shows. So there's that. If that counts for anything, if that warms your cockles, then yes, you can get more cape, technically. The show can go on and on and on. And, well, it will. Don't worry about that, folks. Now, I've regarded the time here at Skid Row Studios, and I don't want to retread a lot of this either, but because this is the last kind of monologue I'll be doing at the top of the show, because the finale is going to feature a bunch of people. And next week, it's Bobby Borg and I for the entire hour. So I at least do want to take a moment to say a couple more things, and also because it's a live broadcast. But I've regarded this era, 2015, and the time at Skid Row as kind of a Cape 2.0, let's say. I'm not considering the era following Skid Row, at least immediately following Skid Row, to be a separate era, because whereas Cape started out as being a show that was every other Monday, when I started it on April 1st, 2013. And in those first 30 episodes, I think just over half of them were me just doing solo shows, in which case there were sometimes like a half hour, sometimes they were longer. And then the other, let's say 14 shows were me with a guest or several guests, which was a lot of fun. That I looked at as being kind of Cape 1.0 because that was format-wise different from how it is now. And also because the live element certainly changes things. For instance, all the times I've said in the last 9 minutes, I can't go back and take those out. So there's that element where it's, oh, the show actually has to be that good, has to be that smooth, and I need to communicate as clearly as I can to you because there's no fixing this. You are receiving it exactly how it's being done. But having said that, since we started doing the show live and because it was in a new environment and because it was a weekly show, I've regarded 2015 as like Cape 2.0. I still consider this to be Cape 2.0, what's going to be happening in November and December and then possibly a little bit beyond, because it's still going to be this. First of all, it's going to be the same people. There are some who are concerned about, well, like they think because we're not doing the show at Skid Row Studios that the guests, and I'm pretty sure I said this in a recent episode, but they think, that means the same people aren't going to be on the show. We're not going to see Candace, Norman, John, Sherry, anybody who's been on the show regularly. That's not true. They're still going to be on the show. They haven't come as like a, they didn't come with the studio. It wasn't like a package deal. They were friends of mine who have been interested in doing the show. And once the show was up and running here at the studio and it had its new format, then they've been happy to jump in and be on the show frequently. So they're still going to be on the show. They will be on the show in the audio-only versions in... wow, that sounded like virgins, didn't it? Sorry, versions. Sorry, my mind goes a flutter when I think of all the sexual connotation that goes into the shows I do with that particular group of people. So forgive me for taking that moment to just kind of go... But anyway, they will still be on the audio-only versions of the shows. There are plans to do all sorts of things with them. There are plans to do more video bits. And people have asked, are you still going to put the shows on YouTube? Well, to put audio-only shows on YouTube, I don't know that those would get a ton of traction. But I have thought about, because I started posting video episodes of the show on the YouTube channel, which still, please subscribe. Or if you are subscribed, don't unsubscribe, because there will be more video content of varying types in the future. But basically, since there is going to be a video version, I've thought about releasing Cape 32 through 37 we started. So that's 35, 30, well, there's a bunch of them. My math's not very good. Thank you, Lakewood Public School System. But there are a bunch of episodes that you've never seen. Particularly the first one I would like to put out there because the first one here from Skid Row Studios, Cape 32, because it was also the first show I did with Candace and Norman and John, and that was a lot of fun. And people have asked for those episodes since we've started releasing the video versions on a weekly basis. So Cape 32 will be coming your way at some point. I'm trying to think of when. Maybe during the holidays, maybe be a nice little holiday gift for everybody who digs the show. Maybe next year, depending on how long. You know, there are conversations happening right now. There are plans being made for what's going to go on and other possible studios to head into. There are discussions and there are plans to go into another studio, not to just do the show from wherever in perpetuity, be it my place or other people's places or whatever. And I stand by what I said back at the end of summer. Still going to be old friends returning to the show. Still going to be new friends coming on the show. All that is still going to be coming your way in the next few months, really. I keep saying weeks, but it really is the next couple of months that we have plans for. Kind of a bummer we didn't get to do a Halloween-themed month like I wanted to do for October. Kind of a bummer we're not going to be doing the holiday spectacular show with a huge amount of guests, and it was going to be like a two-hour show. There was this kind of grand plan to have this big party slash show at the studio. Sad that that's not going to happen. However, kind of doing something Halloween-themed today because our guests are wearing costumes. It's going to be pretty sweet. It's going to be very sweet because I've seen them, and they look tremendous. So this is going to be a good time. Nonetheless, I highly encourage you to stay subscribed to the show and to continue listening to the show because all the stalwarts will still be on a weekly basis. And some people who we haven't heard from in a little while, some people who've never been on the show. And, well, it's going to be fun. I'm kind of, it's forgive me for pausing. But I'm kind of taking it in like, oh, this is really the last time I'm going to be sitting here. And the live viewers and anybody who's checking out later are like, oh, come on. Why is he being so kind of... It's just weird in my mind. It's racing because it's, oh, this is the last time I'm going to be sitting here doing the show live. So my brain is kind of like backing off my mouth, which never happens, by the way, particularly with me, where it's saying, well, is there anything else you want to say before things go? But... it's not the end of the show. Because Skid Row Studios closes does not mean the end of Cape. It means we continue doing this somewhere else. The show didn't begin with Skid Row Studios. Skid Row Studios provided a new forum within which to do the show and a new format and made me better as a host where I need to sit and I need to communicate on camera to the people who watch the show and I need to be able to concisely speak in a way that I don't sound like a complete idiot where I'm pausing all the time or saying like, all that verbal tick nonsense that nobody can stand when they hear themselves back. It's always, I can't believe how many times I say, and you know, I've had to eliminate the majority of that and just, I've just had to be a better host and just think on my feet a lot better. But the show must go on, as they say. And this particular show is going to go on because we're going to bring in our guests momentarily. But we're going to take a quick break and return with them because I don't want to keep them waiting much longer because it's going to be a lot of fun. So momentarily, we'll be back with the return of Lauren Sperling and April Morrow right after this.
Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks. I'm so proud to have them as a sponsor because I've been an Audible user for, it's coming up on 5 years. December will mark 5 years that I've been going on these audio adventures. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from across all genres. They have 302 Doctor Who titles, some original audio performances, some short stories, some books, tons of selections for the Whovians out there. There are 155 Star Wars titles on Audible. And hey, big Back to the Future Day next week. We don't need roads. The making of the Back to the Future trilogy, which I have, I bought through audible.com. You can download any one of these titles free by going to audibletrial.com/cape. Download a free audiobook of your choice and start a free 30-day trial and see what it's all about. Listen on your PC, your Mac, your tablet, your mobile device. I have the Audible app for my Android phone, and I love it. Once again, audibletrial.com/cape and download a free audiobook of your choice. Do it now. We are back, and joining me in the studio, representing, that's not, is that a thing? It is now. Making her encore appearance on the show, please welcome actress, writer, director, April Morrow.
Hello.
And also an actress, writer, director, the multi-talented Lauren Sperling.
Hi. Throwing lawns already. Started yet.
Now, if you are just listening to the show, which I realize the majority of you are, you're going to want to check out the, not to continue to shill my own crap, but you're going to want to check out the video of this because ladies are dressed. Well, you can describe it because it's better than if I do.
I am dressed, this is April speaking, and I am dressed head to toe in Gryffindor robes, wand included.
And I am in Hufflepuff because Badger swag.
What?
Badger swag.
What is
it's
that?
It's a thing. Hufflepuff pride. Like, everyone gives Hufflepuff so much crap. So we, my group of Hufflepuffs have taken it upon ourselves to create badger swag. And it's caught on. I have heard people that I don't know saying it, and it freaks me out because it started at camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my group of Hufflepuffs is the most proud of all the houses.
I'm actually a Slytherin at Harry Potter camp. And then on Pottermore, I'm a Hufflepuff. Yes.
That's what I was looking for during the commercial. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have Hedwig's theme on my phone. Anyway, go on.
I don't know what house I belong to. I'm everything but Ravenclaw. I guess that's...
You're divided among the houses. Let's talk a little bit about the camp because I'm fascinated by this. When it's one of the things Lauren and I talked about early on when we first became friends was this wizard camp.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a LARP group that is inspired by the world of Harry Potter, but we've created our own lore with it. So we have our own school now, we have our own professors and our own characters, and I now run it with a few of our fellow former campers, and it's super fun. So we've kind of pushed it more into the LARP direction, and a lot of the students have gone with it, and it was really exciting because last year was the first year we took it over and encouraged everyone to come up with these characters even more so in role play. And after one of the lessons last year, I was standing by the door as the students came out of the classroom, and two of the guys were they were having this conversation, and right now I don't remember what it was about, but it took me a second to realize that they were having a conversation about the real Muggle world, something they had read in an article online, but they were phrasing it from the wizarding standpoint. And
really?
The words they were choosing and the way they were referencing where they saw it, like Muggle technology, and this Muggle thought found this thing, but whatever. It was something scientific, I think.
That's commitment.
Yeah, and that was our first night, and I almost started crying because I was like, my friends are so awesome!
Now, I love that geek culture's embraced, aside from the fact there's a con somewhere in some city every weekend in the United States. I like that now it's acceptable for, not that I've ever done it myself, I've been threatening to do for a while, and by threatening, I mean to everyone else's eyes, but
I keep threatening to, like, I'm going to dress up as something in some form. And I was going to do it this month on the show for whatever episode was going to be the week of Halloween. I guess it would have been the 26th. But it's a... Oh, now it's getting serious. So I need to adjust my speech to fit the... No, no, now it's dipped down again. That was fine. Yeah, you can leave it there, dude. You can, I'm piping this in from my phone. So now you can let it run. I think it's enough of a bed that kind of sets up. Well, it's appropriate because you two it's full on.
It's always appropriate.
Costume.
It feels like home. Every time I go to a bar, I always put Hedwig's theme on.
Do you really?
I do. And then there's like always this awkward moment. They're like, who's that asshole that put this on?
You mean like a jukebox?
Yeah.
Oh.
I do it every time.
That was an option.
Oh. Yes.
Is it one of those Touch Tunes boxes?
Yeah.
Do they have it? You can get basically any song.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I do that with old 80s rock songs because I'm like, this all Rihanna sucks. I'm going to put on something I like. And so then I ruin everybody's night. All the girls who are in the third Cosmo who are just like, this ass. But anyway. I've always found it weird that people criticize, particularly to give it a name, let's say jocks, criticize people going to the movies dressed as like Star Wars, which is going to a couple of weeks. It's going to happen. People dressing up as Star Wars characters, people dressed up as Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings characters. To go see those movies. Like, I don't understand. Why do people have to dress up? These are adults and blah, blah, blah. And then now, every Sunday, put on a sports network and there's dudes painted.
Yeah.
up. All the way from their head to the bottom of their prodigious gut. Just painted up in their team's colors, screaming like an asshole. And I'm like, well, what's the difference?
There is no.
There isn't.
Except we're cooler.
Yeah.
Because we're
I'm with
magical.
You. So. Obviously.
And probably more well-read, no offense.
Just well,
because we geek out over books.
That's true.
And that's what we're geeking out over is a 7-book series that we've read multiple times.
Whoever I'm addressing, I'm going to point to with yes. This is Jenny's wand I have?
Yeah.
Okay, whoever I'm addressing, I'm going to point to with the wand. So, this is obviously, I'm very new to this because I'm kind of like,
you
I wouldn't know what to do.
Choose the most comfortable out of all my wands. That's why Jenny's is my favorite. It's the most comfortable to hold, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I find.
Swish and flick.
It's Leviosa.
Oh, there you go.
I've just sent you this video. You probably saw it that Christian posted. There's this guy who's saying that. He's like, it's not Leviosa, it's Leviosa. But the saw, he breaks into this metal, like, that's clearly dubbed over, but this heavy metal, just like, saw! And it's amazing. I'll have to send it.
Send it to me, and I'll put it on the post with this. I'll put it on the Cape 71 post at chrisabal.com. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have your favorite on here, too, the Shia LaBeouf song.
Yes. Oh, my God. Did you hear
Doesn't
he
fit.
Got arrested?
Again?
What?
No, but did you hear LaBeouf why? Do you hear what he was doing?
No.
Motivating people by screaming at him on the street?
He was.
Was he really?
And he was just screaming, just do it.
That's amazing.
And I feel bad
How
for
meta.
Him for getting arrested for it, but I find it really funny that he was doing that. And I hope it was in jest at himself and not, like, angrily.
You think he was being very self-aware?
I hope so. I think so.
He was just drunk. He's like, just do it. I had to go yell at everybody. He's drowning his sorrows. That's that guy something.
Yeah.
There's never a dull moment with him.
No.
But I'm fine with it. It'd be amazing if his entire public persona has been just an art piece.
Like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, like he's been creating this character this whole time. And one day it comes out and he's just like, no, this has been entirely. I mean, even if it wasn't. He should totally just take that turn and be like, this has been painstakingly crafted over time to like the rat tail. He's like, that was a weave. That wasn't really me. You know? But it was part of playing into
it. So fast. There was no way it was actually his real hair. Let's be honest.
Probably.
His hair was short.
Yeah.
And then it just appeared and it was long.
Yeah. It can't be like down the middle of your back without you actually growing your hair out to some degree.
No.
There would be some graphic online, the progression of his rat tail growth. Somebody would have done it. I mean, it's 2015.
Yeah.
Hair in Gorgio. That's the charm here.
Is that a real spell? It is now.
It is now.
Okay, good. I mean, we're going to buy that.com before we leave here tonight. when you talk about the characters at the camp, sorry, hang on. When you talk about the characters at the camp, do you encourage the students to create their own characters?
Totally.
Oh, okay.
Totally, yeah. At least we have now the direction that we've taken the event. Yeah, we do. And some have. Some have really, like, we have people that have taken up the Prissy, like, I know it all students and the slacker students and whatever. Everyone really embraces it and goes with it. Some more than others.
Sure.
But
But really, all of them. I mean, if you're going to wizarding camp,
we're all weird.
I think you're embracing it. Some of us are just a little more over the top.
Yeah, just fully invest in wizard camp.
Have rubber ducks all over our outfits. And yeah.
Just speaking from personal experience?
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen my rubber ducks?
I haven't seen your rubber ducks. I saw one photo of you from wizarding camp, which is you kind of doing... You were like mid spell, I guess, and just you had a real like serious like look on your face, like you're gonna take somebody out. That's all I've seen.
My
I do not know this rubber duck.
Is obsessed with rubber duckies. She loves them. Mm. So my hat this last year, I put ducks all over the brim, and then my students surprised me and they found out that my character liked rubber duckies. So they painted. Actually, they weren't. Yeah, complicated. Yes, my students. They painted custom rubber duckies for me that were Harry Potter inspired. So I have like a badger and a Hufflepuff student and Tonks and a little Sorcerer's Stone inspired one and a Snape. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I cried.
Her being obsessed with rubber ducks isn't that weird to me because growing up, my maternal grandmother had pictures and wooden figures and everything of mallards all over her house.
Weird. A friend of mine growing up had rubber duckies. Like she
really?
Has, yeah, Skylar has this amazing rubber ducky collection. But Mr. Weasley asks what the function of rubber ducks is. And I created this character for a murder mystery a while ago who, she's not as crazy as she was doing the murder mystery.
Hogwarts murder mysteries?
Yeah, she was obsessed with the person who ended up getting killed and she named her rubber duckies after him as they were her children.
Welcome to Hogwarts Dinner Theater. Tonight we will discuss the obsession. The murderous rubber ducks.
But I didn't do it. I didn't kill him.
You'll have to prove it in court. Maybe not.
I had this like almost Hey Arnold-esque shrine, like love shrine also to the character.
To Hey Arnold?
No. To the character in the murder mystery.
Oh, okay.
No. I watched the show. I was not obsessed with Hey Arnold.
Well, I'm just asking. I have to say, too, because I'm such a good friend, as soon as I found out Lauren hated Peeps, I've proceeded to annoy her with everything possible related to Peeps. I considered getting some, you know, because now they have them, well, they have them for everything, you get Memorial Day Peeps and everything, but they have pumpkins and ghosts and whatnot. So I was actually considering getting like a pallet of ghost Peeps and just eating them this entire time. That'd be a bunch of really nasty mouth noises.
I should tell
you
that I hate candy canes. Will you start buying me candy canes if I tell you I hate candy canes?
Maybe.
Because I need them.
I hate pizza.
Right? So. So, pizza shows up at 2 a.m.
I'm like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah. I hate waking up to pizza. Nothing worse than that. Three pizzas delivered to your place. Am I right? My address. So... You're both doing, we should say, by the way, because both making a return, well, I said return appearances, but April 2nd time, Lauren's fourth time you've been on the show already. It's crazy.
Has it really?
Been fast, right? Months. That's what I mean. I can't feel like.
Yeah, fourth time. Wow. Yeah.
Thinking about the amount of time I've been here at the studio, like, I'm like, wow, it's only been 9 months. And I think, it's only been 9 months? So it's weird to think it's such a short amount of time. Yeah, I think it's been, 42 was the first time you were on for She Kills Monsters. Mm-hmm. And there's a play going on right now at Loft.
Yeah,
you say the Loft Theater.
Yeah.
Wait,
actually, tell us about
that. Before we get into that, I just, since you said She Kills Monsters, can we give a shout out to Mike Mahaffey, who won the Ovation Honors Award for She Kills Monsters?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Ted, I don't know how to say his last name.
Spell it.
I don't remember. I'm really bad. Ted, who made our Tiamat Dragon Heads, also won an Ovation
Those were awesome.
Honors Award.
Those were really awesome.
Yeah, so they're getting them in a couple weeks at the ceremony. Yeah. So it's very exciting. It's our first big award-winning show aside from Catalyst. So.
Yeah.
Wait, so does that mean does it have an opportunity to come back at all? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so, but you never know. We're bringing Princess Charming back next year, so we're bringing a show back we did 2 years ago to Fringe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't Catalyst coming to NoHo Fringe? Is that coming up?
It's not. That did not follow through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, I need a new project.
Got distracted with the Christmas show.
I know. I decided to write a Christmas play, and then I was like, I'm going to do this other play at Loft, and then I'm going to Africa in March. So I was
I'm
just going to not do NoHo Fringe.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it wasn't
Catalyst
like...
Catalyst more than once a year is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very heavy
show.
It's
very heavy.
No, that's,
touching
it, is.
It more than once a year or so is a lot.
Yeah. It's a big investment for the audience, and I'm sure for you to do it a couple of days a week. It's no, I believe it. But Hammer of the Witches, the current show at Loft. Loftensemble.org, by the way, is where you go for all the details of what's happening at Loft. You can catch Lauren and April in a myriad of productions throughout the year. I haven't seen Hammer of the Witches yet. I unfortunately wasn't able to make it to opening night as much as I wanted to, but I will be seeing it. Tell us about that. And let's move some tickets.
Hammer of the Witches is written and directed by Bree Pavey. This is probably like, what, her third, fourth show that she's written?
Something like that.
And it's, in my opinion, her writing just gets better and better with each one that she does. And we've had so many audience members that have come up after the show and just gone, this is the coolest show I've seen at Loft. This is actually the coolest show I've seen. It's just, it basically takes place in a crematorium. I play a lady named Morgan who is kind of newer on the scene. She's a newer employee, and there is a coven of modern day witches that work at this crematorium. And as the play progresses, stop me if I don't want to give away the ending because it's a baller.
Shit happens.
It's some stuff goes down. Morgan
doesn't know that the coven is here.
Yeah, Morgan doesn't know about the coven. But basically, they are attempting to call upon an entity called Samhain that they worship, and Morgan plays a role in that. And things go terribly
unwittingly.
Maybe not. I don't know. You gotta come see the show.
Gotta come see the show.
It's a little weird.
Get your tickets at loftensemble.org, by the way.
Yeah, but it's got a great the first act is very, it builds. And then when act two hits, you don't know what happened. Suddenly it's over and you go, what? That was so scary.
A lot of people come in because it's billed as a horror show, which it is. But the first act is pretty tame and it's comedic and you really don't know where it's going when you sit down in that seat for the first, almost entire first act. You're kind of like, I don't know really where that's going. And then right before intermission, bam, things start to happen. And then act two is just through the roof. Insane.
So, I've seen the photos.
It's a fun ride.
And it looks like the production value is pretty intense. Yeah. And it looks like it gets pretty intense.
Let's just say I've spent the past month being covered in bruises and so sore I can barely move. It's been intense.
Wait, courtesy of makeup or legitimate bruises?
Legitimate bruises.
Oh, it's wow. Just
very physical show in a beautiful way.
Great name for a punk band.
Or in a gross way.
Literal bruises.
No, legitimate bruises.
Legitimate bruises. Nice.
That's another one. We're gonna have to trademark a bunch of stuff when we get off the air. or maybe I'll do it. You two take over. I'm just gonna register a few domains. And as you said, you wrote a Christmas show.
I did. It's called Christmas is Dead. And I wrote it with my friend Alex Freem. And it's just been a lot of fun. We it's about just a dysfunctional family getting together at Christmas. And
what?
Right. Never heard of that. But it's interesting. It's much different than Catalyst, which I wrote. It's very high paced. There's I think there's not a single blackout until intermission.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It just goes and goes and goes. It's a cast of, we have a cast of 18 at any one time. There's 12 people on stage. So it's just constant in and out. It's like a borderline farce almost.
I love farces.
Yeah.
I just love where it starts and just keeps going and going and elevating and building and building and then.
Yep.
Everything happens. So if it's, I'm in anyway, but that sounds like a blast.
It is. We're only on day three of rehearsals, and I'm already losing it in rehearsals. Some of the choices these actors are making, it's ridiculous.
When's that going to, obviously, I assume it's opening after Hammer of the Witches. It'll be a weird crossover.
November 14th.
Nice.
Yeah.
So and it's running all the way up until?
December 20th.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So you got a good 5-week window, folks. So you can catch up Hammer of the Witches, and then you could do a complete 180 and check out Christmas is Dead and get your holiday fix at the Loft Theater. Two very, 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 very different shows. But I'm looking forward to it. I was hoping to see Hammer of the Witches before, but it's been a busy time getting all these, doing the wrapping everything up here at the studio before heading out. So I haven't made it before coming on, but I'm in because just looking, as I said, the photos from Hammer of the Witches, this thing looks pretty crazy.
It is.
It's fun, too, to see something like that because, you know, now with, you have something like Halloween Horror Nights and there's a Carrie experience as well that our friend went to over the weekend. And all these, let's say interactive experiences. To go to the theater to see something that's actually, could be horrifying and could really scare you and know it's real people doing this in front of you, that's an even more exciting experience. If you're sitting there and this is going down, and you, especially if it's something you're unfamiliar with and you don't know how it's going to play out, like everybody's seen Carrie, so you probably have an idea what's going to go down. But seeing something like this happen in front of you is like, oh my God.
And our director, Brie, is so, she has such a good eye for stage pictures. So, you know, at the end, the climax of the play, so many of my friends were like, I don't know how you did that. Where did the blood come? When did it get there?
Spoilers.
It's a horror show. There's going to be blood.
There will be blood.
There will be blood, yes. but it's really, I had a lot of, you know, friends that have been doing theater for years who didn't quite understand how and when we did some of the tricks that we did. Mm-hmm. So it's scary. It's interesting because, like, and especially because our theater is so intimate, you're basically almost on the stage with the actors. Yeah. So the fact that we were able to pull off tricks like that and people not know how we did it. Mm-hmm. Is a remarkable feat.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's a nice little intimate 99-seat theater.
It's been fun because I'm not in the show, but I did scenic design for it, and I've helped out with makeup a little bit for it.
Covering up bruises, things like that?
Making bruises, actually. Bruises and blood.
Ah, it all comes together.
but I've been in the audience a lot. It's actually, this year has been amazing at Loft. Cuckoo's Nest broke my record for how many times I saw a show. Mm-hmm. And then with this one, I've been there every weekend at least once. And the cast rotates some. So part of that was making sure I see everyone in all the different pieces. But I was there for Tech Week because of, you know, scenic stuff. And I was like, I can't wait until we get an audience in here because I can't wait to see them freak out at this point and that point and watch their faces when this happens. And like, I try not to laugh throughout because I know what's coming, and I sit there and I look around me and I'm like, like a couple weekends ago we had this group of three sitting in front of me and Brie, the director, and I think our friend Heather Lynn was there with us too, and we'd all seen the show multiple times, and this group of 20 somethings were sitting in front of us, and there was this one blonde girl who just kept freaking out, and there's not too many jump scares, but there are some jump scares, and some that just happen some nights and not others, depending on who's in the role. But this girl just kept freaking out at everything. Like, we got her so many times, and the three of us were just sitting in the back like, we did it, it's good. So it's really fun to see everyone's reaction. And, you know, some nights after every scene, the audience is applauding, and some nights there's no applause after scenes because they don't know what to make of what's happening in front of them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, is something going to jump out? Like, what's happening in the dark? I don't know.
Yeah, that's been the really cool thing, having been double cast in the role, to come on the nights that I'm not in the show and get to see my counterpart, Marissa Galloway, who is brilliant. I learned so much from her during this process. But it's so fun to do what you said, to sit in the audience and having been in the show and being able to watch the work that I put into it, be able to sit back and see what the audience sees. I've never been able to do that before. And it was, the best part is watching people get scared and even getting scared myself. I'm such a wuss. Like, I've never done a horror show at Loft. Like, well, I did one. I was like a zombie for like 2 seconds. But I never Brie wrote a horrific play. And when I say horrific, I mean, it was amazing. But it was scary.
Anybody wanted to do it.
So scary.
Horrifying play.
Yeah.
She meant horrifying, everybody.
Horrifying, yes. Thank you. That's what I meant.
No problem.
It was called Will You Save Them? And I couldn't bring myself to audition. I barely sat through the first act. I don't think I even saw the second act because I don't do scary. So it was a feat for me to even sit in the audience, even though I was rehearsing it and know all the tricks.
That's fun too, seeing somebody else in the role, because now you're thinking how things are landing compared to how she's doing them. With how you do them. So it kind of informs your performance when you get back in there, like, maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't have thought of doing something that way. Or you think, well, that didn't land, I'm going to keep doing it my way. Yeah. So you kind of get to react. And that's a fun thing about, I've said it certainly every time Lauren's been on, the fun of going to see something live, because every audience is going to be different on the whole anyway. You may have a few people who've seen the show come back in, but overall, everyone's dynamic is going to be different and they're going to react to things differently. And the performances, while it's the same show, they're going to be little tweaks and little adjustments and little nuances that people are going to add or take away. And then you'll see how things land with an audience. So that's really fun. And to see a horror show, I think it would be a lot of fun.
That's why
I'm really looking forward to this, because I think it's going to be just, especially if people are freaking out, and hopefully it'll be like going to see, that's why I like seeing horror movies in the theater. Even if I'm not really interested in the movie, I just like the guy, where I'm from in New Jersey, I was about 45 minutes south of Rutgers. So if I was out with friends, we like go to dinner in that area, because there was a big theater around Rutgers, like a 16 screen theater, which there weren't many of them in at the time anyway, this is about 10, 12 years ago in New Jersey. So we would go up there and grab dinner at a nearby restaurant and then go see Wrong Turn or Jeepers Creepers or something at this theater because all the college kids would be there and just to hear all the girls like, wah, and freak out and scream at movies. I was like, that makes me, even if the movie sucks, and I can name a bunch of them that were awful, but it's fun to go for the experience. So I imagine totally. It's the same too when you're watching, especially when you have the perspective, like two of you have had, being familiar with the show and being able to watch people react to it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Going in and actually informed and being able to say like, okay, I know what's, oh, they're going to love this.
Yeah. It's fun too because they still get me sometimes, like depending on who's in the role, who's doing what, you know, switching people out and just the way the night goes. Like you said, the beauty of the live theater, like I know 99.9% what is going to happen, but sometimes someone slams this thing over here and they've never done that before and it gets me, or like I'll be looking at this person on the right because I'd never watched them do the show. And I'll try and pick a different person. That's what I did with Cuckoo's Nest a few months back at the theater. I picked a different patient every time I went to see the show because they were all phenomenal and they were all working the entire time and had these weird tics and things that they would do. And same thing in this show. So I'll be watching like Michaela over on the right and then someone will do something on the left that I forget that they do because I'm so enamored watching her. And I'm like, oh yeah, that happens. Oh my God, that scared me. But it's fun.
That is fun. I'm looking forward. I'm really, really excited about Hammer the Witches. And to see, I've never seen I've never seen a horror play, but I've never seen a Christmas play either, which has got to be fun too, because even though it doesn't get particularly Christmassy around here, because, yeah, you know, it's 66 degrees and the palm trees are flapping in the wind and Frosty the Snowman's on the radio. So it's
we're
a little
lucky if it's 66.
Yeah.
If it stays this way, it's going to be 112.
We just came off. Can I just say, and if I wasn't getting so semi-sentimental during the intro of the show, let me just say it now. It was 102 degrees in the beautiful San Fernando Valley all weekend. And today it dropped only to 97.
Woo.
And it's October 12th. Mother Nature, get off the rag, please. I beseech thee. I can't do it. I can't do this anymore. It's too friggin' hot.
Yeah.
It's not. And it's got to be rough, too, especially in the theater when it's been, we've had a weird kind of like late heat wave.
Yeah.
In recent weeks of doing a show that looks like it's pretty heavy on the makeup. Such as Hammer of the Witches. It's got to be a little difficult.
I smell like a dead cow when I get off stage.
Everyone comes off and I'm just like, I want to give you guys hugs because that was so good. And everything. I'm just covered in blood and sweat and don't touch me. I'm so gross. I'm like,
That could create a fun experience if someone's like makeup is kind of like sliding off during the show. Like it actually might create a different element of just like,
I'm melting.
Yeah, that's the one person who your eyes are going to be drawn to. Just be like, oh man, they're losing the makeup. But at the same time, that's really cool. Creepy.
Yeah, just our makeup artist, Angela Merritt, is fantastic too. Mm-hmm. She's done some really cool things in the show. So
I'm very, very excited by it. Seriously, I think this is going to be a blast. And same thing, it freaks me out just saying now, oh, October 12th. Yeah, halfway through the month, actually, we were talking about it off the air before we started the show. And it's like, God, I can't believe it. So I'm thinking I need to really see this play this weekend or the following weekend. Yeah, three more weekends. So you all, once again, loftensemble.org is where you go for all the information on all the shows. There should be another cabaret coming up as well, right?
This Friday, actually.
This Friday.
Yeah, it is our 2-year anniversary show.
I'm just going to parrot everything you say. Is it really? See, I didn't know about that. Now, I've been to cabaret months.
This month is bananas. So I've been a little behind on promo for that. But I was talking to April Sheets, the co-host for that today. And we've got a really full lineup. I think we've got about 14 people performing.
Oh, nice. Wow.
So singers, dancers, spoken word. A Dr. Seuss poem. It's exciting. Raymond's reading. So yeah, so that'll be fun. I can't believe it's been 2 years that we've been doing this.
You guys have worked really, really hard. Yeah. I remember when you guys came up with the concept, like you didn't really know where you were going or how it was going to be. And
not at all. I'd only been at Loft for a couple months because I joined during Prince's, which is over the summer. And Bree kind of gave us this idea. She's like, you're both like super into music and dance. Like, we don't have a Dark Knight show that showcases those things. Like, you should do something. And that's all that was said to us. And we're like, okay, like, we'll try and figure something out.
And they opened to an oversold out house.
Yeah.
Really?
It was insane.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, we've been very, very, very lucky that we've had very supportive audiences for the past 2 years.
You've put a lot of hard work into it. I don't think that makes you lucky. I think you get what you put into it. You guys have worked very hard.
And it's got to be fun for you to kind of co-MC the show too.
It is.
Because you don't actually need to perform
very much in it, actually. I don't have time to get my act together to do it. But yeah, emceeing is fun. And, you know, there's a couple times where one of us won't be there. So like this April, Mario has stepped in a few times for me when I've been out of town or doing camp or whatever.
It's weird because it's April and April hosting the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is really funny.
That's cool.
And like Michaela Kahn stepped in a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago for April, who couldn't be there. And so it's been fun to like play with other people too. But April and I got a good rapport. For cabaret, we're kind of like mom and dad. We argue through most of the show, but it's really funny.
Naturally, yeah. it's not a bit.
No.
You don't get up on stage like, oh yeah.
Very rarely do we do bits. Occasionally, one of us will come up, mostly me because I'm stupid. Oh my God, it'd be really funny if we do this or that when we go back out. It's like sometimes we do. And most of the time they kind of bomb, but then sometimes they're really funny.
You should not tell April and then cast somebody as April and just have somebody like do an impression of her.
That would be funny if she ever can't make it one particular one
or plan a Friday. She's not listening. Plan a Friday when she's unavailable and have somebody be April and I'm April and you could just goof on her the entire
time.
That'd
be funny.
That'd be really funny. It'd also be nice and it'd be like meta funny too for the people who are aware of the show and love
to be for like, those who know her.
Bah, it's not really April. That'd be really funny. Idea, but I'm sick. And I'm a bad friend is what it comes down to. Torturing people with peeps, things like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But and by the way, everybody, it's going to be cool at the end of the week in the area. It's supposed to be down. The high is going to be in like the low 80s. Yeah. All the more reason check out Loft Cabaret. It's a good cheap night out too.
Yeah, it's only $5. 9
Five
PM
bucks
at Loft Ensemble.
14 performers.
So many awesome performers.
Plus Lauren in person. See Lauren in person. Say hi to Lauren in person.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
See what ridiculous outfit really I decide to wear.
Yeah, she is. She's not going to be wearing this though.
No, I won't be wearing this. I haven't decided yet.
I mean, you can. It's your show. You can show up in whatever you want. You wear that, you wear a bikini.
It's true. The original concept was to dress like flapper 1920s cabaret every month. And we tried to encourage the audience to do that, but it didn't really work so much. It worked like twice and we gave away drinks or whatever. But
that's something else Laura and I are doing. Next Friday, we're doing our annual Loft Halloween fundraiser, which is like the biggest blowout we do. We have a keg, we have a DJ, we have a live band playing.
Really?
It's $10 to get in, $15 costume bucks if you want a ticket plus endless keg.
That's why I was dressed up at the Scared Houseless premiere party because I came
that's
from
it.
A Halloween party last year.
I met Lauren.
I was dressed as a droog.
Yes.
Because we had just come from the Loft party.
And I was like, hi, who? Hi. And I couldn't, the weird thing was I couldn't place it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know what she is, but I can't think. And then it only kicked in later. Like, oh yeah, Clockwork Orange. Didn't think of it. But, okay. Yeah. See, now that kind of makes, I mean, you could walk around in that every day for all I know. I didn't know who you were. That was literally the first time
That's
I saw
true.
You. It's kind of funny too, like when you know somebody in name only, like I was aware of you, but we'd never worked together. So, but we had a bunch of mutual friends. So just all of a sudden just be like, oh, she's dressed really interestingly. I had no idea. Okay. Yeah. That explains it. Is that open then?
Yeah.
Is that
it's
a public,
open to the
fundraiser?
Thing. It's a fundraiser. So it is.
It's, October 23rd, Friday, October 23rd, starts at 9 PM. It's at Loft. We're having a silent auction. We've got some really cool prizes, season tickets to Sacred Fools. We've got, a date night package, tons of stuff. And all of the money that we're raising goes directly back into Loft to help us with our main stage productions and help us get Central Air, which we kind of already have, but are getting more. I don't know what I'm saying now, but we're going to have...
We are in the process of getting air conditioning, finally.
Nice.
And the show with Adam and John, who have been on this show
once
before.
Yes, they have.
They're going on the road this month along the East Coast. And so they did one final big performance before they left for their mini tour to raise money for air conditioning. So we raised money, I believe, for a small unit. But our space is really big, so we're trying to raise more money for a big unit so we don't have to worry about the hot Los Angeles weather.
So we don't smell like dead cows when we get done performing.
Yeah, we don't
and
want
so
that.
And so the audience isn't smelling like dead cows after the show.
No dead cows.
However, how about this? Hammer of the Witches in 4D. Because theater's 3D technically, and the smell, 4D.
It's true. It's true.
No, nothing. See, that's why I don't work
in
theater.
No, it's such a good idea.
That's why it's so just gross.
Chris had this horrific idea when we were on the show.
Next year idea.
I mean, horrifying. It was a good
horrifying.
but aside from horrific. That, we're also like she said, the money will go back into our main stage productions. Mm-hmm. So like we've been able to up the quality this year, like you said, the production value.
Oh yeah.
Two cooler things with our set, and we got our LED lights this year finally, and we're raising money for Fringe, like I said, to take Princess Charming, which is a fantastic farce written by Mitch Rosander, to Hollywood Fringe next year. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's coming up in
June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we've got a ways off, but we're getting ahead of the game this year for Fringe. So.
And you can also straight up support Loft, by the way, if you go to loftensemble.org.
Yes.
There are many levels of support which you can provide. So if you live outside of the LA area and cannot make it to the big ass fundraising party next week, you can still support Loft and support the productions and make sure these ladies
keep working.
And we are
a nonprofit, so it is tax deductible. But. Just help us
that, everybody?
More art.
Get your 2015 donations in now so you can claim them next year.
It's true.
Yep.
And come on. Year's winding down. You got about, what, 10 weeks to go? Jesus. Wow. Saying that out loud. It's weird, right?
Don't say that. I don't like that.
I was talking.
I left my time tenor at home.
Oh, no.
Dear.
We'll just have to
Do you
get
not know
the
what
TARDIS.
A time tenor is?
I just want to hear the two of you get in a character, actually. I'm just going to sit back. Go for it.
We kind of tricked everyone before we left, because we left and we're like, okay, we'll be back. We came from rehearsal and we walked to the car and my car was blocked. So then we walked right back around the corner. I was like, we're done. We've time traveled. We're already done.
Traveled.
We did it.
Flew powder and then we came back.
It was fast, right?
Really quickly.
That was great.
Don't you think it's really interesting how, you know, in the time tenors, like, you can't save anyone. You can't go back and save Sirius Black, but we can go back in time. We can save Buckbeak.
Apparently we can save animals.
But not humans.
But it makes sense.
Not
that
a godfather.
Miss Spew saving all their creatures and not the people.
Oh dear. Bloody hell.
Sorry, I just realized I'm going to be in Harry Potter.
I know.
You are. Yeah, brag a little bit about that while April and I seethe with jealousy. Talk to us.
I just got really excited, but afraid that I'm going to have PTSD.
That's what I feel. Really
Lauren's European vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to Paris and Disney Paris. And then I'm going to London and seeing Benedict Cumberbatch play Hamlet on Halloween. So
in
I don't
person.
Get a traditional Halloween, but
Ridiculous.
That's okay. It's okay. I will trade that.
Ridiculous.
Any day.
I got nothing.
That's why you should come to the Loft Halloween party, because I don't get a Halloween. So come celebrate early with me. And then we're in London for just over a week. And we're going to go to Wales and do the Doctor Who experience in Cardiff. And then we're going to Leavesden to see all the Harry Potter sets and everything the day before we're flying home. But I'm really afraid I'm going to have PTSD from all the time in the museum here. Because I took so much back. I'm afraid Shannon and I are going to walk and be like, no, we stared at this all day for a year.
But it's way elaborate over there. They have the majority of everything in the from the Harry Potter films.
Oh,
the majority of the archives are over there.
Yeah, everything. The sets rebuilt, Butterbeer and everything. But hey, to make you feel better, I've missed both Halloween and Christmas there. Because Halloween ends the week before we go, and Christmas starts 2 weeks after.
Oh, did they do something there, like Diagon Alley? They actually do a thing?
Yeah, for Halloween, the 2 weeks before, like through November 1st, they do a Dark Arts special. So they have Malfoy Manor with Nagini like on the table.
Ooh.
And Death Eaters walking around and more. Because I guess they do little exhibit things throughout the year. Like my friends went a couple months ago and it was all about the candy of the world, of the Wizarding World. And so then Halloween is more about the Dark Arts. And then for Christmas, they deck out the Great Hall for the Yule Ball.
So
and
everyone
this
wears
year,
sweaters made by Mrs. Weasley.
I don't know. I'm taking mine, though. I don't know if I'm going to wear my school uniform or my Weasley's.
You should probably pack both. You never know how cold it's going to be.
It's true.
You're going to run into.
I was looking at the weather, and it's like 50s and 60s.
Yeah, you're going to need to bring a sweater.
Yeah.
Imagine
Maybe
that.
Maybe I'll wear them both together.
Perfect.
Both together.
Perfect.
I don't know. But yeah, then this year they're letting people eat in the Great Hall.
I was, I was just pulling up that article, and I sent it to a friend who is tortured by everything Harry Potter. She's crazy obsessed. Her and her husband are crazy obsessed. And yeah, you could eat Christmas dinner at the real Hogwarts.
Yep. Yep.
That's
it's
insane.
It's one night only, and it's like £150, I think. So it's like nearly $300 US dollars. But yeah, the way I mean, but it's
April's all cried out.
It's a, it's a three course dinner and alcohol and souvenirs and,
like,
and
mead
stuff. And I don't know
I'm a little, yeah, I'm getting a little.
Maybe
chocolate covered frogs.
Chocolate frogs. Oh, it's a little lovely. Nearly headless Nick will be there.
We're getting our Hogwarts here soon. You can already see it from the freeway.
I was at Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, and yeah, you can see. I mean, it's impossible for them to keep it covered.
I almost climbed the barrier.
You would.
I'm not going to lie.
I've almost gotten into an accident like seven times on the 101. I'm like,
the first time a few months ago when the cranes went up and they first started assembling the castle, I was driving to a loft and I was by myself and I was just, and I looked and I was like, oh my God. And I almost got into a
rear-ended a bus full of students.
Thankfully, we were not in traffic. So there was plenty of space around me, but I was like, I'm going to.
It's growing.
And now that the cranes are down, there's just a castle. There is a castle in the Los Angeles skyline now.
That's only a couple months out. Isn't that May?
Yeah, it's spring. Soon,
right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. they're test driving the flight of the hippogriff and stuff.
I wouldn't be the test driver.
I know. I know.
I wouldn't be the test everything.
You bring me in. I'll sign whatever confidentiality agreements.
I just keep telling everyone that works at Universal, like all my friends at the theme park, I'm like, if you hear auditions, you better tell me. I will strangle you if you don't tell me about auditions.
Yes,
that's,
I know.
Hey, hex you all.
Listen, everybody, share the crap out of this video because they got their accents working. They have the uniforms.
We do. We have
Please.
School uniforms.
We're committed.
We can Very sing, committed. Too, if you want to send the choir. I'm not going to sing now, though.
No. Oh, come on.
No.
Come on.
I'm
it's
not
like
warmed up.
Let's just do something in the lower register, then. You all have something?
That's too low. Fire burning cauldron bubble.
That's all I know.
There's toads in the choir. I'm not crazy.
I don't think I have any of those on the soundboard. That's a car crash. Well, close enough. That was Lauren.
It was the glass shattering from our terrible singing. Just now.
Well, no, you didn't hit any high notes. If you want to, we can play it out.
Probably.
That was the sound of Lauren as she noticed that they're building a Universal Studios.
Oh dear,
I'm so
glass smash later. I've never. Ooh,
whoa!
Wow, that one's serious. That's the sound of April and Lauren breaking into Universal.
No, literally, my friend Naomi and I stood at the gate and we're like, because she's a huge Harry Potter fan too. Mm-hmm. Her husband and her helped out at camp this year. And we just stood there. We're like, we can climb over that. We can easily climb over that. It's right there. I can see it. Can I just go touch it?
Let's create a diversion.
It's just, yeah.
And just right over the top.
Incendio! A fire. No, you can climb over.
Thanks, yeah, just like a trash can or something.
I've been studying my spells.
This is why you're a wizard. You're my wizard best friend.
It's true.
She always has the right spells at the right time.
It's absolutely true.
And she's the Slytherin.
I'm
so.
Excellent at charms.
Yeah, and hexes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to keep this going.
We're just
going
to do this for the rest of rehearsal. We have to go back to rehearsal.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you two need to be somewhere. Otherwise, and again,
wait, wizards.
Casting folks at Universal, this is their commitment. They're going back to work on a show from here. And they still took the time to come here in costume, completely unrelated to the theater work they need to get back to as soon as they leave here. Otherwise, I'd say let's do another half hour and just you two talk and that accent. Talk about anything. You can read from whatever's trending on Google News and just read it in those voices. That would have been fine. But yeah, you two have worked
to do. Next time.
Four people died today in a serious hippogriff accident.
It was very tragic. Lots of feathers everywhere.
Not to mention poor Lucius Malfoy got all of his hair cut off.
Oh no, the horror.
He now officially looks like a man.
Like, does he look like Draco now?
Apparently.
Draco kind of looks like a girl though.
I know he does. I still find him very attractive.
I don't have a kitten.
Did I tell you about? Oh, I told you. You were the first person I text messaged about the time I sorted Tom Felton into Hufflepuff.
Yes, I remember. Do you remember the time that I met Luna Lovegood?
I do.
And I was crying because I had too much fire whiskey, and I took a picture with her, and then she had to leave the wizard concert.
Were you the one who broke your wand that night too?
No.
Someone got excited that they met Ivana Lynch and stepped on their wand and broke it. No. So you're at a wizard rock concert, and Evie was there.
A wizard rock concert?
Yeah.
Harry and the Potters. No, who played?
No.
Harry and the Potters. No.
It there wasn't Harry and the Potters, but they do exist.
I'm sure. There's that Ned Flanders band called, I think, yeah, Oakley Doakley or something, true. And they all dress like Ned Flanders. So I'm sure those are Harry and the Potters.
That night? Who headlined?
I don't know.
Tonks and the Auras. No, well, Tonks and the Auras played. She opened, and then Jason Mundey played. There were like four different acts that played that night who were big in the Wizard Rock community, and it was super awesome. We rented out the El Rey, and we had a section. It was the first year of camp. There was a section of like reserved for us, and then it was open to the public too. So it was packed. It was sold out.
It was magical.
Is that going to be an annual thing as well?
No.
Wizard Rock Festival.
That was something that the El Rey put on, and we were lucky enough to, like, we bought a section for it. So it was not our doing for that. It was really cool.
Damn.
It was fun.
Well, if it happens again, I want to go just to see just everything, the audience and the show.
Yeah.
Because that sounds fascinating.
It's fun because it's like, it's fandom music. So they write, some of the songs are parodies of real life songs, like Sorted This Way, which is Born This Way by Lady Gaga. I don't know if you've seen that at all, but it's amazing. So some of them are like that where it's or the new one, the Bruno Mars one, the Dark Lord funk.
Oh, yeah.
That's Voldemort singing Uptown Funk. It's amazing. It's so good.
I'm going to have to look that up.
It's so good. That's one of the best that I've seen.
There have been a bunch of parodies of that, too. So
But then some of them are original songs. Like, there's one, I forget who sings it, but I know there's a song called Lily's Eyes that it's about Lily Potter. But
do you remember the song we wrote about Snape?
Snape.
Sweeter than a grape.
I actually wasn't there for that.
Oh.
I just heard about it.
Is that the whole song?
Cha-cha-cha-cha-chang. Turn and face the crowd. Cha-cha-cha-cha-chang. Yeah, for a while we got really into it and we rewrote songs to be Harry Potter themed. And then one year, Cho Chang was written, the lyrics got lost. And our professor who is similar to Professor Snape and very dry and scary found it and read it aloud. And he was like, Cho Chang. It was amazing. John is amazing.
That's a spoken word piece.
It was.
That's great.
But like if Snape was spoken word where you changed... The song changes to be about Cho Chang and how she betrayed
Dumbledore's army. Andy. I need to work on that.
I wish I had that video too.
Andy.
Oh my gosh. We should have Johnny reenact it next time.
So is there going to be a Wizarding Camp Glee Club with all your original songs?
We've thought about it. We've talked about it.
I think it needs to happen because you obviously have, you put the time into writing these songs.
Yeah. We've done that.
You can conduct them with one of these
Some
ones.
Of us are kind of obsessed with Pitch Perfect. So we've talked about a cappella, wizard a cappella.
That's a whole other level of like wizarding.
I know that. I'm like, a cappella, I'm not sure if we have enough time to get done, but we could do like a sing off or something.
Yeah.
Just like get a couple.
Or a lip sync or something. I don't know.
Or write the current songs in, or the style of a current song. But adapt it to something Harry Potter and just got the karaoke version.
So well, my friend Kevin Garcia, who I do this camp with, he's one of the most talented people I know. He wrote, oh my God, what is it? He did his own and he recorded it and he played it at camp this year, this last year.
I can't believe I missed that.
I'm really bad at this. I'm really bad. I think of stories and then I can't remember.
And they just go nowhere. Just kidding. Where is it people can...
Oh, it was, you know, the song, I'm Sexy and I Know It. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm Wizard and I Know It. And I think it was from the... is it from the perspective of Harry, I think? It's really funny. It's really funny.
How do people find out about Wizarding Camp?
You have to be in the know.
Oh, well, never mind then, folks.
Thing.
All this teasing for nothing. They showed up in a row for nothing. No, for everyone's amusement, apparently, to speak in the accent.
No, you can email the camp that lived at gmail.com. You can find out more.
The camp that lived at gmail.com, everybody.
Yeah.
Loftensemble.org. Do you guys have anything else you want to plug? I know you got to get back to work.
I'm on Twitter now. Yes.
I am on the
Twittering.
I'm twittering.
Oh, dear.
That's a whole other show.
I don't know how I feel about it yet, but I'm back on the tweets.
Yeah. You're doing fine, if I may say
thanks,
so.
Thanks. I'm not as active as I once was in high school.
I've tweeted four times in my life, and they were all about donuts.
As you do.
Yes.
Twitter handle?
I'm @_MissPixie_.
Cool.
I think.
Find Lauren on Twitter. You don't tweet anyway.
That's true.
Follow Duncan LA if you want to know about donuts, folks. And you live in the area.
Just go to Donut Friend.
What?
I said just go to Donut Friend.
Go to Donut Friend if you're in the area. And make sure you check out Hammer the Witches at Loft. Make sure to come to the fundraiser next Friday. Yes. Which now that I know about that, I'm going to have to make arrangements.
Yes. Like our theme is gender bender.
Stop stealing my brain.
And so you have...
I was just going to say that.
Maybe you should practice occlumency.
Oh, no.
Damn it. But the theme is gender bender. You can come as anything you want, but it has to be of the opposite sex.
I'm out. I'd make a lousy woman. This nose never happened.
I mean, it's not strictly enforced.
You can be really anything you want.
Me and Angela and Day have something really funny in mind if people get it.
Oh, that's amazing. I want to be Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, you should.
But I'm worried about that mustache.
I feel like women can, when it comes to like costume parties, I'm not talking about just like casual cross-dressing. I'm talking about in terms of parties. I feel like women can pull off a good man without it being a goof. But when guys dress up as women, I feel like it just always turns into like, look at you.
But that's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it is funny. It's going to require an investment for me to actually get all feminized. That's going
to
be weird.
Doesn't have to be good.
Well, not in the Bruce Jenner sense. I'm just saying in general, like just to get something. I don't have to get it.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I could wear it. I don't know. Are you okay with this? Because you're kind of heading up the fundraiser. But if you don't want to full on dress gender.
Just come to the party.
Swat,
I don't care what you dress
you
like.
You could do a gender bent thing. So like you could be the male Jessica Rabbit.
Ah. Or well, that's my everyday.
Like mammal bent if you wanted to be a giraffe.
Well, like I did gender bent last year for I did a female droog. So instead of a cod piece, I had a fancy bra over top of my clothes.
What if you come as a furry asking for a friend?
You know, I would be very
as long
honored.
As you have consent, which you'll learn about in school now. Exactly. Then that's fine.
Then sure.
Yeah.
Then
as long
support
as you have
law.
Consent and maybe a private room to do any of your business in.
Really? Noted. Okay.
I'm not saying we have a room for you. I'm just saying find your own room.
Oh.
The room
well, that's
requirement.
Different. That's the note we go out on. That's perfect.
Oh,
God. That was great. It was right there, too. It just April got to it first. Oh, that was great.
We tossed the ball and you hit it.
That was perfect.
Thank you. You caught the snitch.
Loftensemble.org is where you go, everybody. If you don't live in the LA area, please still support the theater. Help them get a bigger air conditioning unit, ironically, after summer's over. But nonetheless, still support the fine productions. And sincerely, like the productions are fantastic. And I will be attending both upcoming shows.
They make the best sets ever.
Yeah, Lauren's think about it. They're obviously invested. Look at him. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter @ChrisAbalo and follow me on Instagram @ChrisSellsOut. And follow the show @CapePod on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and like the show on Facebook. Don't forget the next two Mondays, the final two shows from Skid Row Studios and shows every Monday after that. But thank you all who tuned in live. I do appreciate it. There were a lot of you and thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
For that.
Thanks for having us again, Chris.
Thank you both for being here. Of course, I'm glad you're here for the final live show here at the studio.
Oh, yeah.
So, until next week, for April and Lauren, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.